Welcome to your heavenly refuge, a space to unwind your mind, slow down your rhythm, and fill your whole body up with inspiration.
Dreaming with open eyes, being in another world. Don't know what's truth or lie, all these stories that you've heard. Having difficulties to speak, because they seem so far away. It is time to be awake, got important things to say.
This podcast will nourish you with the stories from beautiful creators and entrepreneurs who have already made a change in their lives using their gifts to walk their talk. Welcome again. My name is Oyana Galordual, yoga teacher and wellness consultant, enthusiastic about bringing the stories of people who share their unique blueprints with the world. Thank you so much for tuning into the Ibiza Refuge for Dreamers podcast again. It's been a while, and we have some exciting new topics and incredible dreamers lined up for this new season. Today is no exception. I'm so happy to introduce our guest for this episode. Meet Matthias Moll, a woman coach, artisan in woodworking, and devoted lover of silence and wilderness. Throughout the day, Matthias immerses himself in the world of carpentry, transforming with his hands raw materials into functional pieces. Simultaneously, he fosters a sense of community and art project, a dynamic co-working space designed for entrepreneurs to maintain the well-being of their bodies, share their visions, and collaborate on creative endeavors together. Beyond the walls of project, Matthias runs a livestock farm nestled on the northern part of the island. The farm, in addition to serving as a vital source of sustenance for his family, deeply connects him to the primal aspects of our humanity, to the profound cycles of life and death. Matthias is deeply committed to his constantly growing community. Welcome, Matthias, and thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
I'd like to start by inviting you to reflect on a significant moment in your life. Can you take us back to a specific time or event that served as a catalyst for change?
Well, I could take us back to quite a few of those moments. I think the more interesting for me in this moment was meeting up with what I can only call the alternative community of where I grew up, that I didn't have awareness of until maybe I was 22 or something like this, after having done the whole upgrowth, feeling slightly different and sensitive and searching, inquiring quite a lot further than most of my peers, and I met the girl who had grown up with two ex-DJs in a hippie commune in the north of Sweden, and that family and their friends and that whole community really brought like-minded people into my life, and I could truly dwell and philosophize to a new degree and look for something different, because now there was proof of alternative life out there.
So were you always searching for answers?
I was maybe never searching for answers. I was questioning the answers that was provided to me, the facts and truths and literature and authoritative teachers and mentors that told me how the world looked and what we should do and how things worked. That was what I was questioning constantly, and those who I was the most attracted to at early age, as in mentors or guides, were those who allowed the question to expand into more questions and who were curious about more possibility rather than trying to find the answer. Yeah.
So what I understand from you is that your way to rebel or to look for like new answers or different answers was to expand your mind and to look for different or new possibilities. Is that right?
Yeah. I was constantly curious. I am constantly curious for more light on any subject, and I try to not get stuck, even though that is almost inevitable, and see things from as many possible views as possible. Yeah.
Great. Is there another event or a specific time in your life that you'd like to share with us?
Well, that meeting maybe started a journey, a very colorful journey in my life, where I started to explore more, further, and it took me into festivals in other countries and different tribes with different thinking and different mythology, and I'm trying to find a specific moment here that would have transformed me in a bit more chronological order, because obviously my daughter have been the biggest impact in my life until now. There was a psychedelic rite of passage that was given to me through a friend who saw me dance and enjoy in festivals and such. Very, very dear friend of mine who just with sensitivity knew the right moment for us to go into that space. And it definitely blew my mind and expanded everything and made it incredibly clear that I wanted to just dance with mystery for the rest of life.
What did that psychedelic space open you up for?
It liberated any doubt that there was so much more to life than what can be measured, than what can be seen, and than what science and culture is providing.
Again, sounds like this experience gave you a solid ground to allow yourself to experiment more options than the ones you lived growing up.
Yes, solid is a funny thing. It didn't feel maybe necessarily solid because all of a sudden there was no ground nor sky. But what was, it just made so much sense, and it was obviously awe and curiosity and heart opening as well, but it gave me freedom to express beyond the narrative that I've been given.
Let's talk about rewilding. What is human rewilding for you?
I am a white middle-aged man, and I grew up in suburbia in Sweden, just to make it clear that where I'm coming from is quite unwild. But I was given access to deep nature experience since I was a baby. My father is deeply passionate about nature. And that also turned me on, his presence at first, around the fire and in the forest, and then my own. And since then, I have met and connected with people as we walk away from our patterns and into a wilder nature. And that's how the journey kind of started, bringing people in, bringing myself out. And that journey has expanded in myself to be something of wanting a wilder connection as humans, which I believe to be our normative, and which I believe we have totally forgotten. We have taken away all primal connection, at least in the Western world. And as one can take off the shoes to feel the ground, there's the beginning of a rewilding of the mind that will eventually also happen, and then the walls that create this claustrophobic it's a claustrophobic sensation of trying to be human within the labyrinth of society that I feel like is a little bit difficult, and therefore it's important to allow ourselves to rewild.
You just said that taking out the shoes and like walking barefoot in nature helps us to rewild. Can you elaborate that?
Yeah, for sure. First, I think it's important to acknowledge that we have separated ourselves almost entirely from nature, and the easiest way to begin a reconnection is to take off our shoes and step on ground. And there are so many aspects there that we are neglecting with wearing cushioned shoes. Already I start to look where I place my feet. I slow down my step. I shape my foot after the surface. And I already start to receive nutrients from the ground as I'm equally sharing my own information to the earth. And there is this beautiful circle of connection that starts to take place. My body softens up as I walk with my whole body and not just stepping. My awareness expands, and there's loads of science here that really is obvious to what happens with joints and such. But I think for me, it's just the quickest way to connect to myself and nature and to slow down.
I love this image of someone walking on the earth and just kind of inhaling and pulling up from the earth and exhaling and giving to the earth also through the feet. Which role does nature have in rewilding?
We depend on it. It holds all the wisdom, and we are it. There's nothing that is not nature. there is a natural and there's a wild and there's an old wild natural, and we have very little of that left. And it's all under the surface or hidden from our limited view. And I think once we knew how to hear that wisdom, how to receive that wisdom, and very few today can.
How do you hear that wisdom in your daily life?
Well, I have to take effort. I have to step out of my routine, and sometimes it's fast and sometimes it's slow to get to a place where I can actually hear the wisdom from the inside of anything. On a busy day, I jump into the sea and it immerses all of me, and it's a quick transformation. If I take my time to walk into forest, I find myself every single time extremely humbled and quiet towards the end.
Is there any routine? Because you said, okay, sometimes it's hard to kind of be connected to nature or it takes an effort, but is there some routines or small routines that you can share that are inside of your day that maybe they are so unconscious by now that you don't realize, but they get you right into that space of connection? I can share one that I do, like for example in the mornings when I kind of run out my home and I look at the sun and receive. It's like it's also just a receiving from the sun, apart from getting the sun in my body or in my eyes, but it's just really simple and it feels really good. Like another one, like for sure in the summer, is like going to the ocean to cleanse more when I, for example, maybe work, that's something that I'm not so happy about and I feel like I have some toxins, and it's like so cool to dive into the ocean. Or is there something simple that put you in that zone of connection?
I had a routine. And I was proud of that routine. It really sorted me out, and I'm questioning it. It doesn't feel very wild. It involved meditation and ice bath and training in the morning, and it really put me in a high vibration. I very much enjoyed and recommend that. But it also put me into an early routine. So I my whole day became very scheduled. Mm-hmm. And what I enjoy the most is to have unscheduled time or wild time in the morning. And that's with my children. You know, that can also become a routine. And so maybe to just break routines as a start is a beautiful practice. I love to step outside in the morning and take a breath and practice gratitude. And, you know, these things are extremely helpful. But they kind of work as a, they bring me into my functional, normal state. I stop to meditate for 5 minutes before I come back home after a work day to be a healthier human walking through the door and not some demanding working man. I think to leave the phone off and walk into forest without a need for a certain time to come back, or with too much worry if you're going to get hungry, or like to kind of let go a little bit about these concerns and immerse yourself. Definitely try to take off shoes, put fingers and hands and body in earth, and these are a little bit more profound exercises that I think I would love to see more people try out.
Is there something you do when you go to the cities?
Well, open the windows and there will be sound of a bird somewhere amongst the traffic. I will definitely apply more routine when I'm in a city. Cold showers and breath work, and the first thing I will look on the map and see where the greenest patch is and go and sit there. And if I get a chance to have a lunch, I will bring my lunch to one of those. And it's important. It's extremely important for us to be with the green, to see green, to feel green, and to be in the living, especially if we're in the city. Yeah.
Do you think that there is still a way for humans to be in deeper communion with nature and with the laws of the universe?
Yeah. Can we regrow the forest that we've cut down that was our normative environment? I think so. Can we trust that we shouldn't plant everything in lines and in monocropping? I think so. And what happens when we find ourselves in old growth forest? If you haven't experienced that, please search for the last patch, because there are a few left in this planet, and discover the mysteries and magic that still holds in those places. It is tangible. It is tangible through the eyes of anyone, whoever you are. And we evolved in there for most of our human existence. That's where we found our divinity and our answers and all the wisdoms. That's where we found struggle, and that's where we found love. And that's where we also discovered universe, as small and incredible, or as great and unimaginable.
I mean, the stars are quite amazing. I love looking. So, moving on to our next topic, I would like to touch on fatherhood. What qualities has the experience of fatherhood compelled you to incorporate in your life?
I have totally transformed from having had children.
How old are your children?
My daughter is 5 and my son is 11. Well, my first fathering was when I met my stepson. He was 4, and we totally fell in love with each other as his mother, as I fell in love with his mother as well. And that moved me and changed me and made me act in new, more committed and clearly more responsible ways, as I was reflected by him on an everyday basis. And then I had my own child, and she was delivered to me in my living room. As the most extremely impactful experience, and I had to start all over from the beginning, from zero. All that I've thought I've learned about myself became a small little satchel to look back on and hold on to.
Would you say that the birth of your daughter was a rebirth for you?
Yeah. Yeah, it was exactly that. And part of me still lives on. It is in the moment when I am being challenged or when she is challenging me that I know who I am. And I work to be able to receive her love, to be able to see myself reflected in her, and to know that I have enormous impact on her perception on life.
Has your sense of responsibility expanded since your daughter was born towards yourself, her, and the world?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's more clear that than my responsibility to her. My responsibility in me grew. My fathering as a human. Well, the really challenging part is to know that every single expression that I'm responsible for has impact on her. In word, in action, in thought, and there's no taking back. And she looks up, cherishes, and calls all of it divine.
Looks like fatherhood is reshaping you in a very good way.
I inherited aspects that I didn't know until I was a father.
Okay.
And I wasn't aware that is how it worked. Nobody told me about that. That is part of the rite of passage. There's now my fathers and his fathers and all the line of fathers behind me are now also part of me, healed and unhealed. And the only way for me to find out is in the moments when I am challenged, and so in between those, I hope to have time and courage and capacity to heal as much as I can, or to find out how to heal, because it's not a straight line here, so that I can show up as healthy as I possibly can.
Do you share all these challenges and the ups and downs around fatherhood with other men?
I host a man circle. And there's loads of fathers there. And I also have applied a way of dialoguing, of having conversation with friends and where there is space for that type of truth to be revealed and challenged and met, you know. And I really see in myself the urgency to find means to heal what wounds I am aware of.
Is a men's circle a safe environment for men to openly share their challenges?
Yeah, I know it is. It's super clear. I grew up having friends in AA and NA, and they all held together a certain understanding of themselves that made them stand out. And I wondered if I could. Well, I didn't know that I could join, because now I know that I probably could have joined any of these circles that you can find in any town probably these days. And I've been participating in quite a few different types of man circles. But as I formed this one, I can't believe a life without it. It's a living journal, and it definitely shows me to myself who I am and where I put my standard.
So these men have become witnesses of your life in the last years.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a reference. I've been through an incredible storm. And not just to sit with them and share being in that storm, but inside of the storm itself, knowing who I am due to me expressing it to this circle has resonated through the hardest times and helped me to stand and show up and be my best.
Where do you think this rise in numbers of men's circles have originated from? Which need was there that was unmet for men to had this urge to join together in circles?
I think that intimacy amongst men is so important, and I, to say my truth, hardly know what that is, how that is truly expressed, and to have even a reference for what is deep intimacy, and we have experience in our relationships, but that is possibly the only one, and that comes with so much other complexity. So we find a place to be vulnerable, to be intimate, and to develop our capacity to listen, and to also search within ourselves, within that safe space, to create that safe space and express a deeper truth. And the result of that is that I then, in any conversation.
I have so many questions. So how do you, or how is safety created in a men's circle?
I can only speak for the one that I host. So what we do, we don't reflect. We don't give feedback. And we listen actively to the one person who is at that moment sharing where they're at. And ultimately, it's for him. And it is inspiring. The circle is contributing to the weave, but what I discovered is that within this format, I lean on, trust, and want to find what is underneath the surface within myself that is not always there present. And sometimes I share my day, my week, but most of the time I discover something more alive. I think it's extremely urgent that we come together and discover who we are in truth. And on a greater contextualized scale, I think we long to be honest and brave and true enough to ask for more wisdom and for guidance, and so that we can show up again as our truth, and not as our culture has kind of directed us with its bias to be.
Could you give more information about how men build intimacy with each other?
Well, I think I've said it. It is what I experience when we are together and we are vulnerable. But that also can happen playing frisbee, you know. It doesn't have to be in that format. But what I notice is that we kind of... we carry on playing a role, and it doesn't serve us when we allow to be our truth in expression on a daily basis. That creates intimacy with ourselves, and in that space I come closer to everything. The people that I meet, the sensations around me, and nature and life. And what is the result is just greater aliveness.
And moving on to our next topic, that is your project, WOMA. What is WOMA? What is the wisdom of Ma?
So, wisdom of Ma, WOMA. Ma is the space in between. In Japanese, it represents so much of that, what we don't see, what is always there, what is the more important ingredients in everything. And I believe that we can all expand our view and our perception to also allow, if not anything else, but the idea that there is something everywhere and it's all connected. And it's so difficult to express that without using the old lingua narrative that has been so diluted through the years of New Ageism and these attempts to bring that to the surface. And now we have tried to quantify it to even make it more popular or understandable or even applicable through scientific methods, and it's constantly robbing I don't think that we can reduce anything into its smallest particle and then understand the sum of that part. I think the sum is always so much greater and mysterious. And within the question, I also I long to meet people in their truth. I found some ways to sit in a bath full of ice is extremely effective. It's a direct shortcut into anyone's truest expression. And it also have a beautiful amount of amazing amount of positive which we can talk about in another moment. I think we have almost completely reduced the risk of being alive. We are aware of small risks and we try to make life as safe as possible. But I have noticed how rewarding it can be to climb and feel the vulnerability or the adrenaline or the exposure to nature's more riskful sides, to overcome fears, to discover how we cramp up and what does impossible do to our mind and bodies when we're in front of it, and how can we overcome it or allow ourselves to take another route and then sit down with that. And in this context, I sit down and connect and weave with people, and it's extremely revealing and extremely beautiful and cathartic.
In your introduction, I mentioned that you live in a livestock farm in the north of the island, and that you utilize the animals to feed your family. Is this bringing you closer to the cycles of life and death?
Yeah, that is exactly it. And you know, I notice in myself how I also want to make my life more comfortable, you know, and it's much easier to go to the butcher. And this might be a sensitive subject, but I eat meat, and that it is the easiest way. And it's not even more economical to have your own animals, but it's humbling, and it's extremely connective, and I think about it. It's also hard work to look after them, to make sure they're healthy. On this island, this winter, we're having a drought, and to provide food for them is costsome, you know. But my children knows this to be the source of meat that we enjoy, and they participate. They've been part of this tradition since they were babies, and for anyone who lives in this type of reality, it seems almost silly to speak about. But I grew up in the suburbs. We went to the supermarket to buy our food, and that was just the way. And now I know that there are other ways. And it's not just you kill your own animals. It's a whole aspect of primal connection. It's so much more deep than that.
I know, totally. I hear you. I'd like to start wrapping up the episode. And I'd like to come back to Woma, the wisdom of Mom. Are there practices suitable for anybody independent of their physical condition, or if they are used to living in nature or they live in the city?
100%. The environments that we live in are just playgrounds where we can connect to ourselves and others and the wild, alive reality that we have within reach all the time.
Thank you so much, Matthias.
Thank you very much.
like this, we finish the episode with this reminder that a wild alive reality is always at reach within us.
Escutar os meus guias lá no astral.
tua salvação foi meu amor. Quem me deu a salvação foi meu amor. Vou tentar escutar.